The Brad Sesnatt Show, broadcasting live.
We go into a new week. Thanks for being with us. Brad Sesnatt with you. Hope you had a great sports weekend. We will have Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst. He's at Eagles camp today. He does a lot in Philly. He's out there watching Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley do nothing, I'm guessing. Want to talk with Seth about his business side. He's a player that is wildly successful when he figured out what to do when the career was over. Some other stuff with Seth. We're going to screw around with him and in the cards a little bit too. And then John Wilner is going to be with us. And Wilner today, I did not plan on having my day, my week start with Daquan Wright. And if you're like, well, Daquan Wright, Daquan Wright is the top of the news cycle today. The first player to be in an NFL camp and go back to college. Yeah, that's now happening. This is the guy. This is the guy. It's like the house case. It's a former swimmer at Arizona State. Daquan Wright, a former Virginia Tech and Ole Miss player, went to the Browns and said, yeah, please release me. Now, he didn't play in a game. And I want to get into it with John about, is this the new trend? Is this going to be the new normal? I'm believing that there's going to be games played at some point rather than us every week talking about stuff that has nothing to do with on the field, but it really does. You take a player from the NFL and say, go back and play in college. He's going to line up opposite somebody who's a freshman. No, that's like back in the day, people felt that BYU players had an unfair advantage because they'd go on their mission for a couple of years and then come back and they'd have kids and they'd have a razor deal. You know, they'd be shaving all that stuff. And they'd be lining up 2 years older than a guy across from them. But this is a guy that is going to go to LSU from Mississippi. The way that it'll look is he entered the transfer portal. That is the way that it will be presented. But we know that that's not really the case. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business as always and through the years. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate Jeff Mishi and company and their support. Claudia and Spurge from our team are actually working on a big documentary involving Desert Financial, which will be fun. I had a weekend that was filled with shenanigans, I guess is the best way to put it. You know, when you get to that point in the summer where your wife starts to tell you, man, it's hot, really? Okay. And you're just saying, you know, let's hang in there. Football season's almost here. And you have all the Ketel Marte nonsense going on. And then she decides she wants to break out and do the Halloween decorations in August when it's 115 degrees. And I'm just like, I'm here in my office going, knock yourself out. But, you know, guys, we have to take one for the team on occasion. So there was some of that this weekend. I watched golf yesterday. I watched the Diamondbacks a little bit yesterday. I watched about a quarter of the Cardinals and Cowboys. I saw where Josh Weinfuss had that the owner was waving his arms towards the head coach as they were walking off. It's just not a surprise. I'm sure he's like, boy, that was a really bad call out there. No. So, you know, another preseason game down. It's funny how people post on their social, wow, I'm here at the Cardinals game. And man, there's a lot of fans that aren't Cardinal fans. Yeah. Here's 30 years of breaking news. When the Cowboys roll in, like tonight, the Diamondbacks are going to have the Cubs in for three. It's a Cubs convention. It doesn't matter where the Diamondbacks are in the standings. This isn't a shot at Phoenix. This isn't a shot. It's just the Cubs are going to own the stadium the next 3 days. Own it. They'll be, I don't know, probably 60-40. Go look at all the lower level seats. Fans here figured out you're going to get season tickets to the Diamondbacks. You're not going to make it to every game. But man, when the Cubs roll in, when the Yankees come here next month, whew, make some money. Make some money, 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 money. This will be the week that Arizona State football announces who their starting quarterback will be. I am in the space with ASU where I think U of A may end up with a better record than them. It's not hating. It's just, guys, you have a lot of ground to cover in the first few weeks. Morgan State's Morgan State. Okay, it's a scrimmage. But you've got a quarterback that's going to be put in play that has to play Texas A&M in week two, and then you have to go to all the way across the pond, and you don't know the conditions, you don't know anything, and then you get a bye. You don't know what you're going to have, really. And so I know that the Forks Up crowd is, we're going to be 3-0. Yeah, I got it. The football luncheon is this Friday. That's always fun to go to because I like to see the president of the university there. Maybe because the president did show. President over at Always Something University did show up when the new basketball coach was announced. So maybe the president of the university is going to take the stage and give a little pep talk. Only the football program, the biggest revenue generator in the program. So there's that. If you have to figure out, if you're in the camp of defending Ketel Marte on being out at a casino because he didn't have to be, you know, why are we making a big deal out of Ketel Marte at a casino? Well, first of all, that is somebody in social media really had to go follow him around. But that's what it's like, you know, sucks to be you that you have all the attention. I'm not going to apologize. That's Ketel, you're being paid millions of dollars. So I'm not going to apologize. This is part of what happens when fame hits you. You can't have it both ways. And when you see comments about Vargas and teammates raving about him and the job that he did yesterday and how he's heart and soul and this and that, like, you know, and Marte is not able to come off the list until this weekend in San Francisco. They'd have a doubleheader. But then they come back home and they play the Phillies. And I would guesstimate that the boos will be louder than the cheers for Ketel Marte. I could be wrong, but I have yet to run into anybody in the last 5 days that is on his side of the street. Anybody. Now, there's a few people on social that are saying it's unfair. There are people that are claiming race is involved, which is always the direction it goes in doing this for 40 years. If you have no argument, then just use the race card. And sometimes you could be right. In this case, come on. Are you kidding me? So that's where the Diamondbacks are. And I'm sitting here looking at them two games out of the wild card, and they can either collapse. I'm really interested as to what Ken Kendrick is thinking because, you know, like, Houston just blew out their general manager today. And the Diamondbacks, when an owner goes quiet and doesn't publicly speak and get pressed to the floor about what do you think about Ketel Marte, because they're not going to say anything. Right now, all it is feeding guys within our industry what they want out there. That's it. And when the owner speaks and says, this is unacceptable, and really, what's Ken going to say? What would the owner say here in August? This is unacceptable. Well, do you lose Perdomo? Do you lose some guys' attention? Or they're like, yeah, it's about time you said something. Bottom line is this period that we're in right now with the baseball team, the Hometown Nine, is putting, I've already said, I don't see how the general manager and the manager are both back next year. I don't see that as a possibility. One of them's going to go. One of them is going to go. Because situations like this have festered for a while. I'm not saying which one has to go. I'm of the opinion the general manager should go. I like Torrey as a manager. I think Torrey's doing the best that he can do when everything is shot down the chute to him. This is who's going to play, when they're going to play, how they're going to play. You know, look at what they did at the deadline. You know, they're just bringing arms in. Littell's the latest guy to say, see you later, DFA, goodbye. So you just treading water, and all the manager is doing is playing the cards that he's been dealt from upstairs. Well, upstairs hasn't really helped him, has it? Rather random stuff that is going on over there. All right, let's take a break here. Seth Joyner, the original NFL Network analyst. Always good to catch up with Seth around the National Football League. And then Wilner Hotline. We are going to get in the weeds today about this player leaving the NFL, going back to college. That's what we do. I'm Brad Sussmat. There he is, the original, the number one numero uno analyst for the NFL Network when it first launched. He's back with us, Seth Joyner. joining us from Philadelphia on his way to watch Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts stand around and not get injured in training camp. Is that about right?
Well, hey, listen. I mean, they got to stay healthy. Those guys are the guys that's going to get it done. Coincidentally, I'm on my way to practice right now. I'm going to go and watch them practice for the first time this year. So it'll be interesting. I don't do these things a lot, Brad, because I kind of get a little sick to my stomach sometimes. I went to a practice a couple of years ago, and I was there for about an hour. And I was like, this is all they do? This is training. This is training camp, right? And I was like, I felt sick to my stomach. I'm like, this is country club training camp. This isn't training camp I'm used to.
Well, to that end, we're going to run you through your career. Do you know this bit that I do called In the Cards?
So no, I never
there's
got big you. Go ahead. Joyner.
There's big Seth Joyner back in the day. Look at those pads, man. What were you here about, 210?
210? Man, I haven't been 210, Brad, since I was probably 17, 18 years old. When I got drafted by the Eagles, I weighed 255 pounds.
Get out of here.
And then they made me drop down to 240. So I played between 240 and 245, probably my entire career.
Is that your favorite Eagle look right there? I think we've got another one too, Tom, if you want to move on.
That's pretty sweet right there. You know what game that is?
I don't. You tell me.
That's a game against the Cardinals. I had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. I had a sack in the end zone, caused a fumble that Clyde recovered for a touchdown. Yeah, that's at ASU Stadium right there. I remember that like it was yesterday.
When I'm looking at you holding a football, then it goes over to this one. There were a lot of fumbles in this one.
Yeah. I remember those days too.
That's how you and I met.
Yes, sir.
That's about it. It was crunch time with Seth Joyner, and every week we'd have to throw water out the boat because the team get their head kicked in, and fans were bitching about Buddy and all that stuff. What do you remember about your Cardinal time that really jumps out at you, Seth?
You know, really, Brad, just how close we actually came to actually turning the corner. Our first year, you know, defensively, we made a massive leap. In the rankings defensively, and we came close to, you know, being a 500 team for the first time in a long time for the Arizona Cardinals at the time. I think we lost in Atlanta in week 17 or week 16. I don't even remember. We had buys during that time. But the last week of the season, we lost on the goal line. We were at Atlanta's goal line in a field goal wouldn't have done anything, so we went for it on fourth down and got stuffed at the 1 yard line and finished the season, I believe, 7-9 rather than 8-8. Yeah. So I mean we were close. And then, you know, everything just kind of fell apart from that point forward. But we were really close to like turning the corner, at least that first year we were.
Okay, we couldn't find a card of you. We found this one of you. I mean, you look a little thinner there. Look at those legs, man. Those legs.
Yeah. There was 1 year when I was in Arizona, I tried to, as you get older, you realize your reflexes, your response time, all of that stuff begins to wane. And so I decided I was going to get down to about 235. And where I was getting my behind tossed around in training camp, I quickly went to McDonald's and ordered, you know, three Big Macs and two orders.
That's good. That's good. Seth, we also we couldn't find one of you in Denver, but we found you in Green Bay. So what was the Seth Joyner in Green Bay like?
You know, that was actually a great experience being in Green Bay for that year, both Green Bay and Denver. But, you know, Green Bay, you know, back in the day, Green Bay was like football Siberia. If you acted up or, you know, you were problem teams, like, you know, we'll ship you behind to Green Bay. You can play there. But once Reggie, you know, Brett Favre wound up there with Mike Holmgren, and then once Reggie White went there, it all of a sudden became a destination for a lot of guys that wanted to, felt like that team was trending in the right direction. And I think after I left Arizona, I actually went to Green Bay and played there for a year. After experiencing the city, the fans, and the mystique around the Green Bay Packers, man, I wish I'd have had a couple more years to actually play in the city of Green Bay. I actually like being there, enjoy my time there.
Seth Joyner with us for a couple of minutes, the original NFL Network analyst. Of course, it's always great to have Seth on board. He's going to the Eagles practice today. He does a lot around the Eagles. Your platform, I'm getting some other stuff, but I want you to plug what you're doing, because you've really taken the idea of digital and television and radio, and you basically are the man about town around the Eagles, right? I'm not sure.
No. I mean, you know, I have finally, between my conversations with you about my brand and how to build, you know, a media company, and my experiences along the way, I just came to a point where it was like, I need to like do this for myself. There's no reason why I can't. The only thing that prohibits me from being able to grow my company and be able to expand it is being able to create the relationships, to bring in the partners, the sponsors, you know, to actually get it done. Yeah. So I decided to become my own boss, and trust me, it is an endeavor every single year, because you got to be everything to everyone at all times in order to make your endeavor grow. But to be honest with you, I don't think I could ever go back and work for anybody else. Somebody, you know, people ask me all the time, why aren't you doing, you know, stuff nationally? And to be honest with you, I could care less about doing stuff nationally. Somebody would have to come offer me some ungodly amount of money in order for me to step away from what I'm building, what I'm doing here. I work for myself. I control my content. You know, I've got a good team, good people around me that's helping me, you know, build this thing out. And I'm looking and searching, trying to figure out, you know, how to expand it, how to grow it, you know, beyond just the Philadelphia Eagles, tap into, you know, the entirety of the NFL and continue to grow my brand and my company, and, you know, bring those who have been, who committed themselves to, you know, what I'm doing, to bring them along for the ride as well. But I love what I do. People ask me all the time. I'm 61 years old, Brad, and people ask me, you know what, man? Well, I shouldn't say people. My wife asked me, how long do you think you want to do this? I'm like, well, I can't see myself ever retiring. You know, I love what I do, and I think, you know, when you love what you do, it's not work to you. And the way that I love football, I can't see myself not talking about it, not breaking it down, not analyzing it, not doing what I'm doing. I will tell you the one thing that may change my mind is I got two grandbabies now. I got a 2-year-old grandson, and I got a 5-month-old granddaughter, and that may be the deciding factor. If there's anything that could, you know, sway me away from the world of football, it might just be that, because I'm in love for the first time ever.
Crunch time with Seth Joyner back in the day, and now he's whipped by grandkids. That is truth. As our mutual friend Charles Barkley would say about us doing media, we are stealing money. He is stealing a lot more money than you or I, but we're all stealing money in some way, shape, or form. I totally get that.
Well, hey, listen, there's a need. And there's a desire for content. And I think that, you know, when you create good content for those who need it and want it, and especially, you know, if I tell my partners all the time, if it's not a win-win for both of us, then it doesn't make any sense for us to do the deal. Yep. It has to be a win-win across the board, because you've got to get value as I get value, you know, through the partnership. That only makes sense. But, you know, football is such a big deal now that it's almost impossible to create content and, you know, not have it consumed.
How much of it, though, Seth, is creating content in this world of social media where all it is people want to hear how great their team is? Because you and I are on the same cloth. When things are bad, they're bad. When things are good, they're good.
Right.
The amount of cheerleading in our industry now, where all it is everything is great and don't say anything bad about a team. I mean, I really think guys like yourself, stand out with your content because the Eagles stink. They stink. And you said Jonathan Gannon was a good hire for the Cardinals. Well, here we are. He didn't make it. So you know what you're doing.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, you probably have to ask people, do you want the truth or do you want me to lie to you? Plain and simple. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. Because I think at the end of the day, there's a level of political correctness that happens, you know, in this world of content creation, because people are afraid to say things. People don't want to say things. They don't want to rub anyone the wrong way. They want to be careful about how they, you know, talk about the players, and the players are highly sensitive. You know, I got into it with a Twitter spat with AJ Brown last year. Yeah. I mean, you would be surprised. But what I always say is that I operate from a position of truth, Brad. And my mom always taught me, she said, listen, the truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. You just set it free and it'll defend itself. And if I get it wrong, I'm man enough to come back publicly. If I say it publicly, to come back and publicly and say, hey, I got it wrong. Make apologies. I'm man enough to do those things. I think a lot of people in the world of sports and content creation, you know, they get it wrong and they never make amends for the things that they say wrong, no matter, you know, how wrong it is. They just move on to the next thing. I think that accountability is important. But, you know, especially in the market that I'm in, I don't think that you can, you know, these fans are too smart. Like, fans come to watch my show because they want me to confirm what they just watched, what they saw.
Right.
They, you know, and they want me to every once in a while feed them something new, feed them something, you know, that they don't know about the game, educate them on the game. So my market, I can't be politically correct. That's not what I've been known for. That's not, you know, my brand of broadcasting. And that's not what, you know, my viewers and my followers, you know, tune in for. They just want the truth. They want the unfettered truth. And if they get that, then they're happy with that. And I think that most fans are smart enough to know when someone's being politically correct and trying to save their job. That's one of the reasons why I started my own thing. So I can say what I want, how I want, when I want, without the ramifications. I'm pretty sure that the Eagles don't like a lot of what I say. But I'm not here to appease them. I'm not here to appease the players. I'm here to appease my viewers, and I'm here to give information to my viewers about how I see the game based upon my 13 years of playing in the National Football League.
Well, I have to tell you that I've kind of gotten soft out here because I've referred to the Cardinals as the Super Cardinals for the last 10 years. You know, that doesn't go over well with the Cardinals because they're always going to go to the Super Bowl, according to most people out. The only way they're going to go to the Super Bowl is if they buy a ticket. That's the only way that they're going to go.
Well, hey, listen, right now, there's 32 teams out there that believe that they're going to the Super Bowl. So, you know, hope springs eternal this time of the year.
I'll let you go off that. Keep having Kendra dress you. You look too good on the air, man. And your stuff is great. I appreciate you as always, friend. That's the winner. Thanks.
You got it, my friend. Anytime, you know that.
And we're back with more after this timeout. And now John Wilner with us for a few minutes as he joins us every Monday. Wilner Hotline, all things on the college football front. We have games to talk about this week, but we're not going to be able to because we've got to spend... We have to spend a segment on Daquan Wright. If I had told John last Friday, hey, by the way, because John and I communicate on occasion during the week about stuff. We don't rehearse or anything, but you know, if I always say, hey, we're going to talk about Daquan Wright on Monday, John would have said, you need to go get a drug test. But here we are talking about Daquan Wright. Why off this story? It's the biggest national story to hit college football. John, a lot of layers here. Let's just walk through a player that goes from college, goes from Ole Miss to the NFL, to a couple of teams in the NFL. He was at Philly. He was bounced around. He's at Cleveland. Now he's going to LSU. So we have our first ever, unless I'm wrong on this, do you know of another, first ever NFL player going back to college to play this year?
I believe he is the first. And to be clear, He has not appeared in an exhibition game this summer. However, he did sign a contract, undrafted, free agent, signed with the Eagles, was waived, signed with the Browns, is being waived, and is going to transfer to LSU. Why transfer? Because he was an Ole Miss player for Lane Kiffin, and is so he's got a transfer, technically, NFL transfer portal LSU to reunite with Lane. But yeah, this is it's bananas what's going on. And we could get into the legal aspect of it. But yes, there is going to be a player who signed an NFL contract on the field this fall playing college football.
So there's no ramifications against LSU. Just so fans are wondering, well, wait, he's immediately eligible. It was out there that Lane Kiffin called Todd Monken, the head coach of the Browns, a week ago, wanting to talk to him about this situation. I've heard from a number of agents, we're going to see a bunch of players do the same thing. They're telling their NFL teams, please cut me now so that I could go play college this year.
Yes. So the legal piece, LSU, I don't think can get punished because they're, you know, this is a court order. And that's the weeds that we probably ought to get in briefly. Yes. This is all stemming from the NCAA's decision to create the 5-for-5 rule. Players have 5 years to play 5 seasons. You could, you know, have 2 ACL surgeries. You still only get 5 seasons. That is starting this year. They're eliminating all those eligibility waivers, just flat out 5-for-5. They did not include the seniors who just finished up this past college competition year. So all the players, football and basketball, who played 4 seasons in 4 years are saying, well, why weren't we included in this ruling? Why are we not grandfathered in? Why is it starting this upcoming year? So they've all gone to court. There have been local courts. There have been federal courts. There have been injunctions, restraining orders, stays. I mean, you name it. Colorado, Louisiana. And some of the players right now have been stayed. They can't participate. But if you have a specific court, state court ruling, you're not subject to the federal ruling. So in this case, it's the Louisiana ruling that is allowing him to play. But it's all because the NCAA chose not to grandfather in the kids who were seniors this past year that had 4 years and played 4 seasons. There's not that many of them. There's not that many of them. It's not like we're getting hundreds of players like this. And it is only, in theory, only limited to this one cycle because it's the kids who were not grandfathered in from last year. Now, who knows what's going to happen with kids who played in 24 and 25. I don't know. But right now, it's a very limited situation, but it is chaotic and it's affecting football and basketball.
Okay, so you have thrown a lot there.
Sorry.
No.
Really complicated. That's the problem.
It's complicated, but I think for fans, they're wondering, so is this it? But at the end of your last thought, you did leave the door open about 24 and 25. And that's, I think, John, that's where I'm going with this is the days of just sitting watching college football. I can't wait for that to happen, by the way. But they're going to say, so said player is walking out on the field, and here's Daquan Wright, who was in the Bengals or the Browns camp and the Eagles camp. And you're like, well, wait, wasn't he in college?
Yeah.
And the common fan who's just going there to enjoy themselves or take in a game is going to say, what are we doing here? How did this happen? That's where I think the confusion is going to come. And more anger from Big Cigar alums saying, well, whatever happened to collegiate, except if we win the national title?
Yeah, I do think that it's problematic for college sports. I don't think it's going to seep beyond the kids who were just finished their senior years and are saying, well, why aren't we getting a fifth year? You're giving everybody else starting now is getting 5 years. Why didn't we get a fifth year? So I doubt it will seep back to players who were in the 25 and 24 classes, but you never know. The issue, though, to me is the fans don't care that the players are getting paid. That's clear. But I don't think fans want former pros playing college football or basketball. That's a different level of discomfort. It's not, you know, it's different than the money, right? And it could affect, if it's just a handful of players, you know, this fall and this winter, that's one thing. If somehow this metastasizes into more players coming back after signing pro contracts, I think it will hurt the product. I think fans will be tuned out. They don't want former pros playing college. You can pay the college players, but just don't have former pros playing.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes, Wilner Hotline. He wrote a column this week ranking the Big 12 quarterbacks. In fairness, Arizona State hasn't announced who it will be as of yet. Yeah. Whoever they decide to go with, if it's Boley or Mikey Keen, they're not going to be the number one quarterback in the Big 12. Your view is Tucson, right?
Yeah, I think that you could make a great case right now that Noah Fafita is the best quarterback in the Big 12 based on, you know, what he's done at Arizona, his familiarity with the system, the continuity with the coaches. Yeah, there's a couple others you could make a case for, but I would probably put Fafita number one at this point. I don't think he has the highest ceiling of all the quarterbacks in the Big 12, right? He is only 5'10", but you can't argue with the guy's resume at all. ASU, we'll see what happens. You have to kind of give them the Dillingham bump because Kenny Dillingham has proven that he can, you know, really work with quarterbacks and bring out the best in them. And he's going to have to do that this year with either Keene or Boley if you know, they're going to contend for the conference title. I don't necessarily think the fact that they haven't announced is a bad sign, but clearly they haven't gone through August where they've had a definitive number one. And that is, you know, that's a negative for any team.
Well, it's Morgan State followed by Texas A&M followed by Kansas and London.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have a whole lot of time to figure things out.
A&M game will be very difficult. And then you just the London games, and we see this with the NFL games over there too. You have no idea what's going to happen when you throw in that travel. And then how do they respond when they come back? I know they got time off, but you just don't. The whole London thing is a big X factor for ASU. And it does set them up on a potential path where they're going to be playing from behind with their record once we even get to October.
That is John Wilner, and he joins us every week. Wilner Hotline. John, thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.